It's about 15 after 4 o'clock, your Monday downtown show. I'm gonna tell you a story. Live at Seasons Main Street, Bangor. At our Quality Jewelry Studios. Time to talk some Red Sox baseball. To do that, we are joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Dave D'Onofrio of the Union Leader. Dave, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich, good to be with you.
Yeah, Red Sox making it interesting for us. I felt so confident, I don't know, a week and a half ago, riding high, three-game lead. Now all of a sudden, everybody's in trouble, and the pitching staff can't do anything but throw the home run ball. What's wrong with this group?
I think it's not only that they can't do anything but throw the home run ball, it's that they're compounding those mistakes by leading the American League in walks, and that's a bad combination. And if you look at what they've done over the course of the year, they're still one below the league average as far as number of home runs allowed, but we've seen here over the last week or so what happens when you're running up against teams that can hit the ball at the way the Blue Jays and the Orioles can, and you give them extra base runners. It's a bad recipe, and I know the Red Sox were at a playoff probability of about 92% last Wednesday. I haven't looked since this recent, you know, 4 out of 5 loss stretch, but I think most of Red Sox Nation is probably with you and feeling a lot less confident now than they did a week ago.
So what's the biggest need right now for this team? Is it another good starting pitcher, or is it some help in the bullpen as Koji begins to show his age a bit more?
I still think it's the bullpen. I look at the rotation and in conjunction with the offense and think that on most nights you should be in a position come the 6th or 7th inning when you are in the game. You may not have a lead, but you're, you know, a couple swings away from having a lead. Situations like that, those 6th, 7th, 8th inning guys are going to be enormous. And what we've already seen so far is that Kimbrel is good, very good. Nothing to worry about there. But they've used Tozawa more than I think they've wanted to this point. And he's already starting to show some of the wear and tear that he's shown in September of recent years. Koji does not look like the same pitcher. His walks are way up. His effectiveness is way down. Splitter isn't what it was 2 or 3 years ago. That's a major concern when you add it on to the Carson Smith injury and what they had planned for those late innings going into the year. They're essentially down 2 guys from what they expected to have. Can a guy like Hembree or Barnes step up? That remains to be seen and is a huge question mark. So if I'm looking outside the organization for help, that's the first place I'm targeting.
Dave, since the beginning of the season and up till now, the catching position has been one of exceptional wealth for the Red Sox, what with Vasquez, Swihart, and Ryan Hannigan being back there behind the plate. But now Swihart and Hannigan are on the shelf, and Sandy Leon has been recalled. Is this going to be more of a situation where Vasquez becomes a true number one and Leon becomes a true number two instead of the pseudo-platoon we've seen?
I think so. I think last year we saw Leon with Buchholz, and if Buchholz gets back in the rotation, I think it makes some sense to slot him in there, but by and large, I think you're going to see Vasquez basically every day that he's available, and there will be situations where there's a day game after a night game when they need him to sit, but just the way that the days off here affect the way they can line up their pitching rotation, it's going to be important for their catcher, too, and this is a guy who 2 months ago was in position they wanted to ease back, and now they have no choice. Sandy Leon is not a good enough major league catcher to rely on for anything more than an as-needed, on-emergency basis. And until Hannigan gets back, because I don't think you're going to see Vasquez really, I mean, I don't think you're going to see Swihart again in any meaningful role until maybe late August, early September. Until Hannigan comes back, I think they ride Vasquez hard and hope he holds up.
Well, every injury means an opportunity for another player. How important is this opportunity for Rusne Castillo?
Oh, what opportunity. They put him in yesterday to run in a completely meaningless situation. He comes in for Ortiz when Ortiz is on second base, not as a tying run, but as a run that would have made it 5-4, I believe. So, and beyond that, they've given him one start at the beginning of the year. He didn't play while Bradley was up, while Bradley was on his paternity leave. He wasn't in the lineup over the weekend after Swihart went down. So I'm not sure John Farrell has enough confidence in him. I'm not sure why he's even here as opposed to in Pawtucket getting his reps and getting better, theoretically. It's just a confusing situation, and I don't know if his opportunity is going to come this time. I think that the more likely scenario is they go out here and make a trade for a left-handed hitter, even if it's along the lines of Alejandro Diaza, who they brought in last year, and go that direction for the short term, and Rusne's back in Pawtucket before too long.
Do you think we'll see possibly a scenario later in the summer where an Andrew Benintendi gets called up?
I'd love that. I think that's on the... If you just look at the history of what they've done with some of their elite prospects and also guys who have played at the college level like Benintendi did, Bradley and Betts are two good examples. Betts was a minor league second baseman who, by the end of that same season that he started in Double-A, was in major leagues as an outfielder. Bradley, we remember the start of 2013, he had never played above Double-A and started that season as their opening day center fielder. So it's not unprecedented. It's the path he's on. It's the track he's on. If he performs at Portland, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they consider it at the very least come the latter part of the summer. And if he continues to hit at Portland and gets to Pawtucket, you know, you're always at that point one phone call, one injury away.
We're talking Red Sox with Dave D'Onofrio of the Union Leader here on Downtown. The Blue Jays, everybody talked about them in preseason, wondered if the pitching was there, the hitting we knew was there, and they certainly showed it over the last couple of series with the Sox. Now they're only 2.5 games out in the East. Do you think long-term Toronto is a bigger threat to the Red Sox this season than the Orioles are?
I do, and it's based on the pitching that they've got so far and what it's convinced me of. I mean, Sanchez has been a revelation. Even better than expected. Marco Estrada, when he was with the Brewers, was always thought to be better than his numbers showed. And the last season and a half now, he's done pretty well for the Blue Jays. So if you put those two guys in a rotation with R.A. Dickey, who's going to eat innings, and also with Stroman, who hasn't necessarily pitched his potential this year, but he's got stuff that a lot of people think is capable of someday winning a Cy Young. If you add that to an offense that is what that offense is and could be, especially if guys like Donaldson, Bautista, and Encarnacion get hot, Tulowitzki's on the DL. There's just a lot of pieces there that the Blue Jays, if they get everything going in the right direction, there's a reason they won the division last year. There's a reason a lot of people picked them to win the division this year. And the fact that their offense hasn't been what we expected, and yet they're right here 2.5 games back, I think for them bodes pretty well moving forward.
One of the Red Sox who's been scuffling a bit the last couple of weeks is third baseman Travis Shaw. Is that a situation where maybe he's fatigued from playing every day, or is it just because pitchers, now that they know him a little bit better, are perhaps approaching him a little bit differently?
I think it's the latter. I think he's been an everyday player at the minor league level for a while, so I think when we get into August or September and those seasons would typically be ending, if he starts showing some fatigue then, I think we can draw some lines. But for now, I think it's pitchers are adjusting, and we always sort of say that when pitchers adjust to a hitter, it's up to the hitter to then adjust to those adjustments. So these next 2 or 3, 4 weeks will be telling for Shaw, in that scouts have now had 2 months to figure him out, and it seems like they've done a pretty good job of that. He had a pretty good day Sunday after some rough 10-day, 2-week period. If that's a sign that he's making those adjustments, It's a good thing for the Red Sox, because, you know, Hanley Ramirez is not hanging for much power right now. Jackie Bradley, after the hitting streak, has sort of come back to earth just a little bit. So the middle of that lineup could use another bat. And if Shaw can put things together again, it would be huge, honestly.
Well, that's my next question for you. What's the bigger surprise at this point in the season, that Hanley Ramirez has no errors at first base or that he only has 4 home runs?
That's a good question. I would say the 4 home runs. And I know going back to last year, he did not have much power to show for himself after April. But even at that, he finished with 19. To say we're now here at June 6th and he's got 4, and really over the last month, he hasn't hardly hit for any power, it's concerning, especially beyond the $20 million a year price tag he comes with. It's a position, that being first base, that you need to get offense from, especially when you're not getting much offense from left field, not getting much power from that spot. It's aided a little bit by the fact that their lineup is so deep, but if some of these other guys, some of these younger guys, start coming back to where we maybe expect them to be, then Hanley's just going to get that much more attention and that much more scrutiny, and honestly, he deserves it.
I'm not a huge fan of the interleague games, but I am excited to see this series with San Francisco. Being on the East Coast, we don't get to see the Giants a lot. What do you think we might learn, if anything, over the next couple of nights?
I think Red Sox fans will, they shouldn't be surprised by Madison Bumgarner from a pitching perspective, but they will see the event that is him coming to bat these days. He's had a couple home runs against Clayton Kershaw this year. There's a budding underground sentiment to see him in the home run derby come the All-Star break, and you put all that on top of a 1.9 ERA, and it's just that's going to be a tough game for the Red Sox to win on Wednesday night, even with David Price on the mound. Before that, the Giants are playing good ball. It's going to be a challenge these two games. Porcello is going to have his hands full. That's a team with some good hitters, some good professional approaches. We've seen in these even numbered years that they seem to put it all together. And right now they're playing pretty well, and they're doing that. It's going to be a challenge to get out there to put it together in two games, and also to play without David Ortiz. So this whole stretch that's coming up, not only in San Francisco, but everything that follows it over the next 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, is a lot of challenges for a Red Sox team that hasn't necessarily proven itself against winning clubs. And that's really what they'll face from here until about the 23rd of June.
Dave D'Onofrio covers the Sox for the Union Leader. Dave, always great talking with you. Thanks for being with us, and we'll do it again before too long.
I look forward to it. Thanks, guys.